From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. During the second Trump administration, people who are lesbian, gay, trans, and so on, they've seen the government roll back supports. Earlier this summer, for example, the administration shut down a suicide lifeline for young people who are lesbian, gay, bi, and trans. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has taken a different tack. Last month, he announced a new resource.
Illinois Pride Connect will provide resources on health care and education, on immigration, social services, family protections, and beyond. It will answer frequently asked questions. It'll inform individuals of their rights and provide advocacy tools. Together, we are fighting ignorance with information. We're fighting cruelty with compassion.
The new legal hotline is the first of its kind in the U.S., or at least it's said to be. It's a collaboration between the Illinois Department of Health and Human Services and several nonprofit organizations. One of those groups is the Legal Council for Health Justice, which focuses on removing barriers to health care and other essential services. With me now to talk about this is the executive director of that group, Julie Justice. Julie, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listeners will be on this topic for just the first part of the show today. If you want to share your thoughts or you have a question, at 800-222-9455. What do you think of the Trump administration's actions toward people who are LGBT? What do you make of the idea of a legal hotline for that community? And maybe have you been personally supported by this kind of service? Again, 800-222-9455. All right, Julie, can you talk about some of the broader challenges people who are LGBTQ are up against in the current political landscape?
Yeah, so beginning with the Trump administration in the early part of this year, we had a lot of concerns coming to our organization, Legal Counsel. Questions about what do I do? I've been losing access to health care. What do I do? I've heard that passports are being revoked for trans folks and I need to travel. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of concern and worry. Parents of kids, kids in school, kids getting gender-affirming care are very stressed out. We appreciate that Governor Pritzker and the state of Illinois is working with us and with other LGBTQ-led organizations to help ensure that families and people with LGBTQ plus related issues have access to accurate, vetted information and resources.
The brunt of that seems to be directed at people who are transgender, right? Can you talk about some of those particular struggles?
Sure. So for parents of trans kids, for trans youth in particular, the administration came down very hard with executive orders banning access to care in many cases and really threatening to go after families and providers who are seeking or providing that care. This throws huge uncertainty into the lives of folks who are navigating complicated issues already in close connection with their healthcare providers, and a lot of worry. How do I ensure what's best for my kid? I've been working with doctors, I've been working with mental health experts over time, and this is what we think is the best course for our kid, and now we're being threatened. So it's a huge concern for these families. And frankly, what's happening with healthcare providers is they are being squeezed and pressed to limit care. And most places have shut down gender-affirming care for young people.
And that's interesting because even here in Illinois, you know, people would say, oh, the state is a haven for this sort of thing. But we're seeing medical organizations, you know, and perhaps it's through pressure of funding in other areas, sort of even voluntarily staying, sort of stepping back from this sort of care, right?
That's correct. I think, of course, the large pressure on these big institutions is Medicaid funding, which is, you know, a federal and state program. But the federal government is threatening Medicaid funding to providers that provide gender-affirming care. And in the absence of an outright ban on this right now, hospitals, big healthcare centers are taking a more cautious route and saying, we are not going to provide this care. So we've seen University of Chicago, UI Health Systems, Lurie, folks just say we are no longer helping young trans folks under the age of 19, some cases under the age of 25. So it's a concern.
So talk about this hotline. What's it look like in practice? How does it work?
So we've got two resources. One is the legal hotline, and that phone number is 855-805-9200. We operate that out of my organization, Legal Counsel for Health Justice, which is a 35-year-old organization that's been providing resources to the LGBTQ community. But the hotline is new, and what we do is staff it Monday through Thursdays from 9 to 4 Central Time. We have services in English and Spanish, and we take any legal questions that folks might have, folks who are in the LGBTQ plus community or family members, folks who have friends and are concerned, can call the hotline during these times. And we have it staffed live with our attorneys and trained legal advocates who have a range of information to answer your questions with accurate, up-to-date resources. And in a world where things are changing, I would literally say daily, around these issues affecting LGBTQ plus folks, it's great to have a place where you can get free, confidential legal information.
Just to be clear, is this one of those numbers you can text as well, or just phone calls only at this time?
This is phone calls only right now.
Okay.
We have two attorneys or advocates staffing the line during operating hours, and we have a voicemail box that's open during that time frame too. So if you don't get a live answer, you can go into our voicemail box and get a return call. As we get more of a sense of the need, we've only been operating for a couple of weeks now, but as we get more of a sense of the need, we may be able to expand hours and or access to the resources.
All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking about what is said to be the first of its kind in the U.S., a legal hotline aiming to help people who are LGBTQ with legal issues they may be experiencing. And this comes as we've seen the Trump administration rolling back other types of supports for people in the community. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us on the program today. That's 800-222-9455. So as not to confuse people, we will have a link to this hotline number and information about when it is staffed on our website, 21stshow.org. So you mentioned you've been operating, and I should say, we're speaking with Julie Justice, who is the executive director of the Legal Counsel for Health Justice. So, Julie, you mentioned it's been up and running for 2 weeks. I understand there was a trial period. What did you learn from that?
During the trial period, we were taking calls from partner organizations, other LGBTQ-focused organizations, and mostly we got a lot of calls from concerned parents and family members during that initial period. I think that was largely because some of the organizations we connected with have parent support groups or ongoing information sessions with families. Since the hotline has been officially launched on August 25th, we've taken approximately 60 calls on a whole range of issues. They're everything from healthcare access, a lot of calls around gender-affirming care. We've had a number of calls around passports and identity documents. This is an area of the law that's very confusing to folks right now. And then a range of other issues, housing, eviction, public benefits, and discrimination being those types of cases that round things out.
So how do you expect, I guess my question is, what has demand been like so far? Do you have a sense of, you know, what you expect this to, you know, what the demand might be in the future?
Yeah, so I should mention that in addition to the legal hotline, we have a resource hub, which is a website with a ton of information. We connect with partner organizations. We provide information to most frequently asked questions in the topics we've discussed here. Since we started, we've had about 5,400 hits on that in the last couple of weeks. Most are from the U.S. About half have been from Illinois, but interestingly, about 2,500 from other states. So I think there's genuine interest not only here but elsewhere.
Oh, does that complicate things? Because obviously lawyers are, very state-based, both in terms of their licensure and often in terms of the expertise they might have, right?
Yeah, so those are just hits on the actual resource hub right now. In terms of the
Oh, I
hotline
see.
calls, you're right, we are Illinois focused. We can tell people this is what the law in Illinois is. With that said, we've had a number of calls from folks. We had one just 2 days ago from a family from Mississippi, had moved to Illinois for gender-affirming care, with sort of the blessing of their private insurance company to get the care here. And then once they arrived, they were hit with a $45,000 bill. We
Oh
were
my
able
God, wait a
to
minute.
provide
40,
legal advice to that family.
45,000 you said?
Yes.
Wow.
So we were able to help that family, negotiate with the insurance company, to talk through what had actually been discussed preliminarily and work with them to address that issue.
What are some of the other common legal issues you've run into?
A lot of the callers recently have been asking questions about a case involving passports and getting a passport that matches your gender identity. This is a complicated and changing environment as there is litigation going on right now in Massachusetts, and that is creating a class of folks who can be in that lawsuit. And it also raises questions for them of what information they want to share publicly about themselves or their kids, in terms of gender identity, because it requires an attestation. And so we're getting a lot of calls about folks who are wanting to get passports but are concerned about sharing their name and or their kid's name with federal government at this point. And we help them know what the potential risks and drawbacks of that might be, and also think through what their particular situation demands in terms of documentation. So it's really that is a lot of advice, just personalized context and hearing their concerns.
People's minds do often go to the worst, imagining things that could happen in these instances. What do you say? What are the concerns? I'm curious about, why someone might not want to share their name with the federal government in this sort of context.
Some of the concerns would be where is that information held and tracked, and how could it be used against me? We've already heard stories of medical providers who provide gender-affirming care being contacted, being asked to provide names and information about patients they've treated, and obviously parents. Worst worry might be that the state would come after them for trying to do what's best for their kid in connection with the advice of their medical provider. So, targeting them for child abuse or things like that. So, those are the biggest fears, I would say, and unfortunately, not unrealistic fears as we thought they might have been just a year ago. But in today's environment, people are right to be cautious and right to get help when they're not sure how to proceed with these types of questions.
You mentioned the idea of a family coming here from Mississippi because of Illinois' reputation. And of course, that's despite the fact that some of these programs are closing in Illinois, particularly for the gender medical treatment. But what do you have a sense of how widespread that is? I mean, we've heard a lot of anecdotes.
Yeah, I don't have an accurate sense, to be perfectly honest. But on a sort of ad hoc basis, we are getting a number of calls from folks in that situation who have already moved or who are contemplating moving and want to get the lay of the land. A number of folks have moved into southern and central Illinois because they may be closer to family from other states, from Missouri, places like that. And affordability might be an issue in terms of coming to Chicago. So we've had a couple of calls from, central and downstate Illinois where people have left their home states and come to resettle in those areas. They just feel safer in a place where the governor is standing up and going to bat for them. And I don't blame them for making those decisions in this climate.
Julie Justice is Executive Director of the Legal Counsel for Health Justice. Again, the hotline number, 855-805-9200, Monday through Thursday. We'll have a link and more information about that on our website, 21stshow.org. Julie, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
More to come after a break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st Show comes from listeners like you and the Des Moines Arts Center, located in Iowa's capital city, featuring works by regional, national, and international artists of the 20th and 21st centuries. Details are at DesMoinesArtsCenter.org.